Thank you. My name is Greg, and I'm a slowly recovering addict. And it's only by the mercy and grace of God and my understanding that I'm here. I'd like to take just one moment to declare the war is over, that I lost, and I don't have to fight no more. And what you hear in that is my foundation, that first, second, and that third step that I'm building on at this very moment. As I reflect back on my story, what I got in touch with was that I was actually a fearful guy. I had taken on, man, some resentments. I had anger issues and a host of other things that was going on at a very young age. And as a result of that uncomfortable feeling of anger, uncomfortable feeling of being hurt, uncomfortable feeling, I'm talking about that pain, I commenced, man, to trying to run away from myself. And what I'm talking about is some experience early on in my life, even before the narcotics. But I used the narcotics, and mind you, my drug use was only a symptom of what I was actually feeling. But I used the narcotics as an outlet, like I said, to escape from myself. Never once did I realize that wherever I went, I had to take Greg along with me. I started experimenting with the mood mind-altering chemicals at a very rare age of 15 or 16. And I don't really want to stand up here and give y'all a drug law, right? Because I don't want to get nobody high. You know, I can kind of like identify with a lot of newcomers being in here. My clean date is March 24, 2003. And thank God, man, for the predecessors of this program, man, Jimmy K and all those before him. Right? Because, see, when I got here, I ain't know how to love myself. I didn't even like myself. You know, I killed myself all one day at a time, slowly but surely. Back to them uneasy and uncomfortable experiences in my life as a child. Me and a young childhood friend of mine's racing up and down the street. And I see him actually run out into the street and get hit and knock the block away. I used to get teased a whole lot because I was born with a herniated disc that protruded. And I'm talking about my neighbor for all y'all who might not be familiar with that. I used to get laughed at. I used to get teased. And mind you, it was not a good feeling. So once more, I started looking for any and everything, man, to escape what I was feeling. I became very disobedient at a very young age. I can recall, reflecting back on my story, me and my sister, an older sister, peace and blessings of Allah be upon her, was given simple instructions to sit on the porch and don't leave the front yard. Now I'm talking about feeling all that I was feeling, y'all. I ain't know how to sit still, man, and hold something. Y'all told me that it's a fact that I feel, but all feelings aren't always a fact. But way back then, y'all ain't had that understanding. All I knew, man, is I ain't like what I was feeling, man, and I had to change my mood. So I went out, explore the world, not knowing what the ends would be, and I found myself in and out of the penal justice system for years after years. Even being incarcerated the behavior still led me, not being incarcerated, but I'm talking about on another level of incarceration, which I'm talking about being placed in a hole, solitary confinement. And the reason why I'm saying that with y'all is because of the behavior that I practiced, the destructive behavior that I practiced, man, for almost 40-something years of my life. And I just celebrated my 50th birthday. And it's only through you guys, man, and Narcotics Anonymous that was here when I got here, man, who held me, who pulled me in and made me feel at home. Because remember now, I said I was always trying to escape uncomfortable feelings. I never knew how to deal with them. I first began experimenting with what's known as BC, Lacing BC. My family used to have car parties, house parties, and they seemed to be having a whole lot of fun. And being at the rare age of 9 and 10, I was kind of like curious as to, damn, that thing make them feel like that when they drink that? So my curiosity actually led me to sneaking that leftover in that orange flip the day afterwards. And lo and behold, y'all, seemed like I was off to the races ever since. You know, I went from the BC, the orange flip, to the marijuana. It progressed to using intravenous narcotics, Ritalin, Prilosec, Dilaudid, and then came the hard stuff. Yeah, and then came the hard stuff. Yeah, better known as King Heron. And in my active addiction, I always, man, identified out. I thought I was a cut above, because I used to watch different addicts and always say, man, that when I got like that, man, I was going to quit. I thought I had some power, y'all. I thought I had that thing. If you ask me, man, how I was doing, I said, I was all right. You know, I'm okay. And I'm talking about all the evidence that was contrary, man, to my response that I was all right and that I was okay. I'm talking about, man, from the flow up. I'm talking about the physical me. I'm talking about the spiritual me, and I'm talking about the mental me. It was like corrupt. You know, I thank God, man, for the United States court system today. I thank God, man, for the Metropolitan Police. For real, y'all. Because they got me in touch with me before y'all. You know, because, see, all of the consequences that I had to deal with in my active addiction, it didn't mean nothing, man, when that call came. Direct hit out there, man, passing out them testers. You think that stay away order meant anything?
Yeah. Come on.
Man, White Horse out there, they passing out testers. The stay away orders and everything else went out the window. In spite of the consequences of being warned, man, you get caught, man, within these four blocks here, man, you got an answer to us. None of that matter. And what I'm talking about, man, is the progression of the disease. What I'm talking about, man, is finding ways and means to get more. What I'm talking about, man, is repeating the same behaviors looking for different results. What I'm talking about, y'all, is that pain being whipped into submission. What I'm talking about, y'all, is standing out there, man, on that corner where I thought I was the shit, getting in touch with the reality, man, you toe up. Man, you need some help. I'm talking about standing out there on the strip, Well, I was pretty well known. You know, I sold a few 10-packs. You know what I mean? I got me a dime here, a dime there. You know, I made some people some money. I became my best customer. But in spite of all that, y'all, when that pain got great enough, man, I had to break down, man, in real tears out there on that strip. And I used to wonder, man, how God got, man, more than one case in court at one time. But when I got on it, when the disease progressed, when I went further and further down, I understood exactly why it was happening. Because it didn't matter. The only thing that mattered, man, was me getting what I want when I needed it. You know, it didn't matter, man, whether you was my mother, whether you was my cousin, whether you was my main man. I did whatever I had to do, man, to get me. Which brought about some bad feelings. Because I don't know, a whole lot of y'all, man, might say that you ain't have a conscience when you was out there on it or in the lifestyle. This one did. This one did. This program, man, have given me some tools. And we talking about no addict seeking recovery need ever die. And if y'all heard me, man, when I introduced myself, I said I'm Greg and I'm a slowly recovering addict. And y'all heard, man, the ones with that 12-step ear, man, that foundation. What you heard was surrender. No addict need ever die, man, if you just surrender. No addict need ever die if you just, man, be open. No addict need ever die if you just be willing to give yourself a chance. I'm so grateful, man, for that moment of silence because, man, you guys prayed me up in here. It wasn't no doing of my own. It was the court and you guys. That's why I'm here. That's why I've been able to stay a few 24 hours. I ain't had nothing to do with that shit, man. Because see, my last time actually using, man, some narcotics, guess where it was at, y'all? It was in a detox. I found a bag of dope that I had hidden in my boots while in detox. And of course, the obsession and of course, the compulsive behavior was still there, not being there a week. I used. But I swore up and down, man, that I ain't want to feel what I was feeling out there on that strip that day when I had to break down, man, and get butt naked and ask for some help. But I ain't even really had to say, man, I need some help and I'm an addict. You know why? Because every time that I got incarcerated, every time I went through the court, they took my urine. They already knew I was dealing with some issues with narcotics. But guess what? No addict need ever die, man, if you just, man, admit that yourself that you have a problem. See, I can't say that you an addict. Lil Sam can't say that you an addict. In order for the help to come, guys, you have to do it yourself. You have to actually, man, be willing, be honest, and open, man, for the help. And since then, because like I said, I always thought they got paid, man, to put me up under the jail. I thought that was their job. I ain't never knew they had some plans, man, in place to help an addict that was suffering, that was dying out there in the streets. Shit, I'd have been surrendered. You know what I mean? I'd have been got in touch with them feelings that I was feeling. But once more, man, y'all told me, Greg, wherever you go, you have to take Greg along with Greg. And when it finally registered, y'all, what I heard was, man, if you don't change your behavior, then you're going to find yourself 6 feet under up in somebody's cemetery, or you're going to find yourself halfway across the Mississippi River doing an 848, you know what I mean, or you're going to find yourself continuing to get shot at. You're going to find yourself continuing to get stabbed. You're going to find yourself continuing, man, to die one day at a time, slowly but surely, because he ain't had the balls to just get it over. I detached myself from my family because I got sick and tired of hearing them say, shame on you, Greg, when you going to do something with yourself. I actually, man, tore myself away from my family, man, and reduced myself to that state of not homelessness, but vagrancy. See, that's how bad I was feeling about who I had become. I went down on the corner, did what addicts was doing, did what homeless people was doing, and did what vagrants was doing. Once again, I made the decision. See, we can make some choices. We can make some decisions. If we don't, somebody else gonna make them for us. Plain and simple. I'm so grateful for this program, man, because it showed me, man, that if I continue to relate myself, man, that I can get better one day at a time. See, when I got here, although I wasn't, man, totally and completely ready to surrender, I just didn't want to feel that pain that I was feeling when I got here. I kept coming back. When I got to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't use, and I kept coming back. And I don't know when it happened, I started to feel a part of. I don't know when it happened, y'all, but I started to change without my own permission. I declare, man, I'm talking about me, that this addict seeking recovery need ever die. Because, see, I understand that if I can continue, man, to practice those screwed up behaviors that I practice in my addiction and in my lifestyle, that's eventually what's going to happen. You know, and you guys told me, man, you can either get busy living or you can get busy dying. So what I do is try to, man, stay in the middle of this thing. Understand, man, that I can't do this thing alone. Understand that without you, there's no me. So I try to tap in. You know what I mean? I can identify with getting here. I can identify, man, with the recovery process taking its shape. I can identify with seeing newcomers come in behind me, growing, blossoming like flowers. I have evidence, y'all, that no addict seeking recovery need ever die if you just, man, give yourself a chance. Try something different. Because, see, when I got here, right, I had came up with so many bright ideas, man, that had cost me, man, so many years of my life, as well as that pain, that misery, and that suffering that came along with it. You really ain't had to tell me, man, too many things, man, before I got on board. Because I ain't want to die. You know, I knew that if I, man, follow some guys' leads who I actually, man, thought was dead, if I had, man, just got in touch, man, with following you guys' lead, doing what you did, and understanding that the same thing that Narcotics Anonymous, man, offers you, that I can get that too. And that's what keeps me so excited about Narcotics Anonymous, man, because it's not a role model thing. We don't have a blueprint for doing it a specific and an exact way. Because they tell us, man, this is not a perfect program. We only striving to grow along spiritual lines. So I ain't got a mind just getting in touch with one or two ways in order for this thing to work in my life. And diversity being our strength for the theme of this convention, I got in touch with that. It ain't no one or two ways, man, to recover. You know what I mean? I'm not kind of like closed in on as far as how I grow or where I get my help from. You know, and I understand, man, that the only way that I can keep this thing is by giving it back. I'd like to, man, really thank Chesapeake, Potomac area, and in particular, man, the East of the River area, man, for asking me to come up here and do this workshop. Because they saw something in me I ain't seeing myself. I ain't asked for it. But guess what? When they say, man, we got you down to come up and do no addict seeking recovery, need ever die. I say, man, that's all right. I got that. You know what I mean? And the reason why I was open to that is because all I'm doing, man, is relating this thing to my story. Where I come from point A to point B. I understand, man, that if I continue, man, to pray, that if I continue to stay open, if I continue, man, to take, man, other people's lead and don't try to handle things my way, that I can continue to get better one day at a time. I need always introduce myself as Greg, being a slowly recovering out of y'all, because, see, I don't want to ever think that I got this thing. Because, see, no sooner as I think I got this thing, I'm going to wind up back old Central Avenue and my man's them out there, man, that's, you know, still in the lifestyle. They going to see that, man, Greg, man, you looking good as mother, man. You trying to get you some money? And I'm going to think I got the power. I'm going to think I'm strong enough, man, to take that package. And before you know it, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to become my own best customer again. Because every time I got a package, that's what happened. Only thing I got out of my package, if that, was the re-up money. That's all I ever got out of it. And I declare, man, I'm sick and tired of building, man, somebody else's mansions. You know? I'm getting too old, man, to go out like that. I don't even want to be over the D.C. jail anymore, y'all. And I'm talking about, man, my last run, it wasn't but 6 months. And I had to sit up there in that 4x4 and listen to the youngsters, man, beat to death with the go-go beat all day long. And I'm talking about all the 25-something odd years, y'all, that I did that. I'm talking about all the 25-something odd years that I did that. I did my time. I went out. And guess what I did? I started finding ways and means to get back in. I was hustling backwards. I was in the way. That's why when I tell y'all, man, that I dropped the rock, that I surrendered, trust and believe, man, that's what happened with me, man. Because I feel like, man, after all those years of trying to get my hit and jump over the moon, you know what I mean? Because some of us have done it. Some of us have actually done it, and I know a few of them myself. You know, but it just ain't happening for you, Greg. Just stay in your lane, keep going to your meetings, however long you gotta go to your meetings, and live your life on that end. So I'm not gonna mind screw myself, man, with even, man, thinking, man, that I can jaywalk, because see, I'm a 2-time loser, and I know that the next time they get their hands on me, that I'm gone. They gonna throw the book away on me. You know, see, because I done came from up under doing life, I'm blessed. I'm grateful. I done came from up under, man, being slaughtered up there in the mean streets. I'm blessed. I stay grateful in spite of what I might be feeling on this side, y'all. If I can keep my gratitude up out front, I can continue to get better one day at a time. And I'm talking about, man, learning how to put yourself in other people's shoes. Because I told y'all, man, I came out the gates off of a whole bunch of anger. I came out the gates off a whole bunch of resentments when my parents left me in the hospital saying they was going to come back that night. They wasn't going to leave me for that night and never came back, right? I ran off of that, man, for a whole lot of years. I'm going to fix them. That's who got fixed. I was killing myself off, always thinking, man, that I was hurting somebody else. I was the one, man, who was suffering the most. And I refused to go out like that anymore. Narcotics Anonymous, man, teaches me that, man, in my addiction, man, that I've ruined, man, every area of my life. And I'm talking about mentally, physically, and spiritually. So I don't think for one second that I'm going to come in here a few 24 hours, man, and get that all back. I'm learning how to practice some humility and understand that the same God who had me back then is the same one that got me now. I understand today that, Greg, things ain't going to always happen when you want them to happen, man. You need to get up out of that pity pot, stop being such a big baby, and give the babies a chance to cry. You keep on crying, what the baby's going to do, Greg? So I had to grow up. I had to start sitting still, feeling what I felt, right? Not used, and keep coming back. And as a result of that, y'all, I'm getting better, man. I'm getting better. Since being in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, man, I've actually, man, have been, man, blessed to have a job for the last 6 years. I ain't never worked for nobody but the dope man. You know what I mean? Since being in Narcotics Anonymous, man, I've been able to keep a roof over my head with my name on the lease. Since being in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, man, I've been blessed with a host of things. But the hit is, man, it's some inside work that's going to have to take place. It's not really about those outside things, because guess what? All you have to do is just don't use. Just don't use, Greg. It's going to get better. They told me when I first got here, man, that every day you don't use, man, it's a pay raise for you. And they ain't understand that. Because I always thought, man, them Timberlands, man, that they used to put on my back. I always thought that shit that would cost a lot of money, man. Man, I got a whole clothesline Timberland here now. You know what I mean? All I have to do, man, is just sit still, feel what I feel, man, and don't pick up. And it's a good feeling, man, to be responsible. I told y'all, man, when I got here, my self-esteem was down on the floor. I never thought I could add to be anything, man, responsible, anything admirable, anything, man, that somebody could see in me, man, and ask me to come up and do a workshop. Anything for a woman to come and be with me, man, for the last 4 or 5 years. Because I was always about me. Remember, y'all? I'm talking about being self-centered to the core. I want what you got. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. You know what I mean? It just don't work like that. It just don't work like that. But the hit is, man, and I think it's kind of like winds down, right? But the hit is, y'all, getting in touch, man, with some humility. Learning how to, man, sit still, pray, feel what you feel, be open to some suggestions, work in a solution, and get to the other side. I ain't never want to hear nothing about no solution. Always wanted the quick fix. Always wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. Always came up with some bigger and better, brighter ideas that always seemed to get me further and further in the hole. Man, it feels good, man, to be clean as long as I've been clean, man, because, see, these 6 years is my most prized possession because I've never been clean for 6 years all my life. And I'm talking about even in my incarceration period, y'all, because, see, every time that I got incarcerated, and there's probably some people around here, man, that know my story. Every time I got incarcerated, first thing I did is I went and I got me a knife, and then I went and I got me some tomato puree and a host of other fruit juices, and I stuck it up in the ceiling. I had somebody bringing me packages so I can get on every now and again. I'm talking about the insanity. I just want, man, throw this out there. I got a real, man, blessed friend in this program, and he came in here behind me. But he came in, man, on a relapse mode, right? And they tell me that relapse brings about more vigorous recovery, right? And I love him. And he always, man, remind me that, man, about what he called this book. Say many books are written about the nature of addiction. But this book, he says, is primarily concerns itself, man, with the nature of recovery. You think you're an addict? Please read it. Give yourself a break. And did I get the cue? I just want to throw this one thing more out, man, that if haven't anyone told y'all, man, that they love y'all today, I love y'all because I truly understand, and it's only through understanding and application that it works. I truly understand that as long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all's going to be well. My name is Greg, and I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.
Man, that was awesome. I'd like to introduce our second speaker now. Please give Greg another round of applause. And if you would, please welcome from the D.C. area also Little Sam.
Little Sam in the Matic. It's only by God's grace that I stand here and I don't take it lightly. And if there's anything I say, ask that it be God's will and not mine. You know, thank you, Russ. You know, thank you. Thank you, Greg. And thank the CPR, CNA, for taking a risk on an addict like me. You know, man, I've been getting all hits all day. You know, good meetings, good workshops. You know, prior coming in here, I just left a workshop my sponsor had led. And the other sister in there, man, it's just been a good day, you know. And I thank all y'all who came in here because of the topic, right? And I thank all y'all who came in here to just support an addict like me, right? And then I thank all of y'all because y'all wanted to just save your own life today, right? You know. Because I ain't never had an addict, you know, give me goodwill. until I came to Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? And the topic is something that when I'm always asked to speak or share my experience, strength, and hope, it's something that I always mention in my topic all the time. You know, that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. Not no 1 foot over here, 1 foot over here, both foots in the program. So I had to really come to grip of understanding what that truly means to me, right? And Greg basically like put it out there in the beginning, talking about the fundamental steps, 1, 2, and 3, right? And the main step is to surrender and never have to fight no more, right? And once I came in here and I seen people through power attraction that was seeking for the same thing. And y'all was dancing and y'all was laughing and y'all was happy and y'all had some things that I wanted. Because I wasn't hating on nothing because I had slid in here. You know, I never been to a detox or treatment. The only detox or treatment that I ever had was P.O. Box 25, Lorton, Virginia. Now, those who don't understand that, it's an institution. And because I was under somebody else's rules and guidelines, I took structure. Now, I could have dipped and got high and wait for the chute to come out the ceiling and all that. But it's something about when I go to jail, I groom my hair, I get to working out every day, and I got great pimpmanship. Because I like y'all on the outside to feel guilty about my mistakes. I'm talking about blaming everybody for the cause and the mess that I created. Because y'all said that it all starts with me and ends with me. But because I wasn't seeking, I bump my head every time. And you know, I've been truly blessed, right? And I used to have this arrogantness with me that when somebody say, "How are you?" I'm highly favored and I'm blessed. And I used to say, like, "You the only one highly favored." Because I believe if you stepped across this threshold, all of us is highly favored. Because we or I have been given a second chance in life. Because I'm seeking for some recovery, for I don't never have to repeat that misery no more. See, I don't know about you, but I know that I ain't never trying to use no more. I ain't never trying to walk up and down the streets. And half of the time while I'm walking, I don't even realize why I'm walking. I'm just walking. Because if I lay down, if I go to somebody's crack house or oil junk, they ain't gonna let me sit down and sleep no way. And because it had gotten to a point before I became a derelict, right? It wasn't getting me high no more anyway. You know, I understand the nature of an addict, right? When you say that no addict seeking recovery need ever die, right? meaning that I ain't got no more time to waste, no more time to bullshit, right? Because if I bullshit, I'm only fooling myself. But because I never had anything that I can call my own before coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I need to be real grateful for the program that got me closer to the God of my understanding. So because I've been a taker all my life, if your grandmother sent me to the store, I'm going to get something out of going to the store. See, I ain't understand when y'all said coming in here with no strings attached. I always had a motive behind anything that I did. Rebels with my friends, family, or associates. But because what was freely given to me, I got to give it away. So when I left the other meeting and I heard the sister and my sponsor and them talking about humbleness, a lot of times I don't want to be humble because my ego, you know, and my sponsor taught me that that means easing God out. You know, my clean date is 2003, February the 3rd, and I haven't found it necessary to use since then. Now, I ain't saying I ain't been to jail since then. But because I don't work a perfect program, right, and I like to go on the inside and continue to get to the root of what's really going on with me, right? Not this dressed up garbage can that y'all see on the outside. And when you ask me like I used to be when I first came in here, what's going on, man? You all right? I'm all right. But all the time, I was feeling inadequate, self-centered, guilty, shame, the remorse, the resentments, all that set inside, man. Because the little boy never grew up yet, right? But it took a relationship that I really wanted out of, but I was too afraid to leave, but I ain't want to see nobody else with her. Now that might have went over a couple people's head now. Mean if I see you and this joker, I'm going to kill you and him. Now, I ain't never killed nobody a day in my life, right? Now, I might have shot at a couple of people and they shot at me. At least I never went back to see was they dead, right? But because I was caught up in the obsession and the compulsion, that my insane thinking that when you say something to me or you do something that I feel that violated me, my image kick up. Now, my birthday is April the 5th. I'm going to tell you what happened to me just recently. And I got to share this because my sponsor might not think that I done some work on this, but I took heed to what she told me, right? And what happened was I had just finished doing the stanky leg on April the 4th. You know, get my dance on, right? And when I went to the 7-Eleven, try to get me a little, you know how we had it, try to get me a little knick-knack, and I'm gone and out, you know. And I parked in front of a fire hydrant, and I got the hazard lights on. And I dip in the 7-Eleven and I come right back and I got my earpiece on and I'm talking to an individual, me and him going back and forth on the phone, and the police come by and give me one of these moves. I just told you I'm self-centered, I'm arrogant at times, and y'all told me that the disease is just absent. It's not gone anywhere. It haven't died. They don't have a funeral for it. None of that. So I act like I ain't him. So he immediately came around the front of the vehicle and said, I said, move your damn car. Said, who are you talking to? He said, I said, move your damn car. So I get out the car. I said, man, who are you talking to? I said, man, I'm a grown man before I'm anything else, right? And because of the ego, the image, the pride, I couldn't let it go. Because by that time, y'all told me that the disease is in relentless pursuit. And I was caught up in the obsession and the compulsion. So the moment I got to go in combat with the officer, man, who you talk to, man? I'm a grown man. You don't talk to me like that. Sir, 2 feet away from me, please. So then he say, do you have a license? I said, yeah, I got a license. And shove it to him. Then he said, can you understand English? Oh, that blew me right there. And because he was Spanish, I said, no comprende. Mucho pendejo. Now, I ain't gonna tell you I got away with it now. And because I'm a developer, I build condominiums. I have a lot of amigos used to work for me and all that. And they used to shout that all the time. And I really didn't know what I was saying to them. I called him an asshole. Right? So immediately he pushed me and told me put my hands on the car. And I'm like, what you doing, man? I ain't even doing that. And then the other one said, get against the car. Put your hand on the car. Then the officer said, put your hand on the car. Next thing you know, I was like this. On April the 5th, 2:30 a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Sunday morning, I was in Central said I was in the police station, the precinct, in the holding block. To the next morning, I got to go to court, and he got me for disorderly, loud, boisterous. And I always thought that disorderly was when I was drunk. And because I try to justify and rationalize the most outrageous nonsense, I try to get some people in the network to co-sign some shit, and then I decide to bring it to my sponsor. But because she ain't sanctioning shit, and she gave me just like it's supposed to be, all you had to do is just pull off. All you had to do before it even escalated to anything else was pull off. But because my image a flare up at any given time, and if I ain't carrying the 12 step with me, it'll slip away from me. You know, and I thank her for that truly, because I learned the lesson last night. Because God say that if you're going to, like, you know, ask me for forgiveness, right? And you truly say that you have done some work on something that you done wrong to him. And then you turn around and, like, do the same thing but expect a different result. But you say you seeking recovery. And I went to the restaurant last night because I've been here since yesterday morning, which is Thursday, right? And me and some friends went to the bonfire, and I'm telling y'all, don't eat there. Because them three addicts, you know, decide to get buffet, and I wanted some pasta. Because I'm very picky when I eat, right? I don't just want anything off the menu. Got to be something I have an appetite for. So to make a long story short, I ordered something. It didn't come back the way that I wanted because I wanted Alfredo Parmesan pasta, and they gave me something with some ragu sauce, tomato, and tomatoes break me out in halves. So when I tried to send it back to him, Ryan, he tell me that because it's not the chef's mistake, that I'm going to have to pay for that, and anything else that I order, he going to give it half price or something. So then when the other part of my network and them intercede, and they talk to him, and so he kind of like broke it down, but the dude was just way out here somewhere, man. And because I was humble this time. This time. Because he stood over top of me, talking to me, and he wouldn't let me get a word in. I said, okay, I heard you. Now, can I say something? Right? But I really wanted to stand up and let him know that I'm not paying for a damn thing that I didn't eat. But because I'm seeking recovery, so when I kind of like give something to my sponsees and make suggestions and see the route that they go, then that got to apply to me too. So I heard you this evening, sponsor, and I got a lot out of it, and I was feeling some shit, right? Because I had to accept some humility last night. Even amongst my friends, and they saw how he was trying to curb me. And in my mind, I want to go back to the 60s, 70s, and call them prejudice, racist, all that, right? And just leave out in handcuffs. But I'm trying to do something different today, right? You know, and I am doing something different today. You know, I've been clean and serene for 6 years consistently. I've been in my apartment for 6 years consistently. I've been a developer, moved from a laborer to a site foreman, OSHA certified. I managed 80 to 100 guys, and I've been on that job for 5.5 years consistently until December the 8th, where they laid me off, right? Because of the economy, the bank wasn't getting no more loans. But because of people that came before me and already paved the way for an addict like Lil Sam to come in here, that I don't have to experience what they might have been through already. You know? So I believe when God closes one door, he opens another door, but it's me in the hallway sometimes that I have problems with. But if I just get out the hallway, because it's a light at the end of the tunnel. But because it seems so far to get down to the other end, and I don't even know what he's about to do for me in my life, that I want to fumble the ball. I want to build my own, you know, door frames inside the hallways and go out my own little path. And then I say, nah, ain't no ending on that door. I think I better go back to God because he got an ending at the end of his door. Right? But I don't believe he brought me this far just to leave me. Because I truly understand that one addict helping another addict without parallel is truly a blessing. Because I was told that if I ain't doing something for somebody else, then I ain't doing nothing. Love you. Because I've been a taker all my life. It's in me naturally to give or help somebody else. I don't do it because I want to sound good, look good. I do it because something happens for me. I'm not looking for it to happen. It's eternally happening. Off the break, I just told you I got laid off. I drew unemployment. I got some food stamps coming in. I've been online. I've been looking for jobs. I get a mentor job for the weekend. I got an interview Monday morning. And I'm talking about all my responsibilities are still being met. Because that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. Now, I ain't understand all that in the beginning, but because I have done some work and continue to do some work on me, because I'm not perfect, I just strive for perfection, because this is a get better program, not do bad program. Things happen. People going to be placed in your life. People going to drop off like flies and roaches. But I ain't got no control of that. I understand today people are in my life for a reason, season, or a lifetime. And I truly believe that. But because I'm in the hallway sometime, right? Because I'm in the hallway, I want you in my life for a whole lifetime. But really, you just passing through. This is a gift to me. I don't know how nobody else see it. I know that places I've been at, and I ain't saying this, but this part of my story. When I come in an institution, I experienced lockdown, the whole. You know, being on lockdown, 23 and a half hours, no contact, no nothing. Shower, 30 minutes, run up and down the tier for 30 minutes, watch TV, whatever I'm going to do in 30 minutes, then I'm back locked down. Right? And because I say milk, defecate in the toilet, urine in the toilet, I shit the guards down because I'm not feeling comfortable with myself. And they shipped me to places like Guatemala, Tennessee, Texas, Atlanta, Ohio, and Kentucky was my last stop. I went in 1992 and I came home in 2000. Now, I just wanted to stop going to jail. I ain't want to stop getting high. Because I couldn't figure out how I spend more time in the institution than I did on the streets. And because I'm a petty addict when I use, my feet stink so bad, the smell come outside of my boots. I'm not no gangster, no gorilla. I don't rob banks. I jump over Popeye's chicken counter. Because I'm an extremist when I use. And my friends back home that know my story know that I've been sticking to this story since I've been here, man. Because I remember going at Popeye's and the manager used to give me free food and I used to think he was scared of me. But the only thing he wanted me to do is just leave the store, take the chicken, because I smelt that bad, I looked that bad, and he just didn't want to give me, he just didn't want me to create no more disturbance. So I remember jumping over the counter, bagging my own chicken up with my bare hands. And while I'm over there, the girl on the register talking about, ooh, look at him, look at him. Now, I just told you I'm a petty addict, right? I don't want the whole cash register. My disease told me that since I'm over there, JD, I'm going to get the same charge anyway. So I may as well go ahead in the register. So I got a bag of chicken in this arm and about $35, $36 in this hand. And I begin to come back over the counter. Now, once I saw that money, the chicken went to somebody. And it was Coca-Cola time all over again. But it wasn't until a little girl who had to be like 8 or 9 years old, who I used to take with me and my family, my ready-made family, to the circus, the carnival, the zoo. She looked at me as a role model. And she said, "Mr. Sam, why your jaws looking like that?" And they were sucked all the way in. And it's funny how people could see you better than you could see yourself. And kids today say the damnedest things. And make it so funny, right? I was getting ready to treat her to the candy lady. That's like an ice cream truck around the ghetto, right? And I said, "Girl, go on over there. I ain't getting you nothing. Go on there. Go on." Because I was in my feelings, right? 8, 9 years old, told me some stuff like that. But because I didn't want to look at myself, you know, and I'm truly grateful, right? You know, I lost my grandmother. I lost my oldest aunt. I lost my uncle. I lost my little cousin. And I never found it necessary to use since being here, man. They said some things going to happen, but no matter what comes down the line, you still just don't use. Just don't use. And I remember, man, living and sleeping on hard concrete because of my image, my pride, and my ego was in the way. I couldn't go to a shelter or a treatment facility because I figured somebody around the way would see me and they'd tell them that little Sam looked real bad. So when I came in the program and I started feeling good and getting clean about myself and I wanted to go around the old way because of my complexion started coming back and I started gaining my weight and y'all say, "Don't do it. You going to set yourself up. Because a monkey can't sell bananas." Then that one went clean over my head. "And a monkey can't sell bananas." He said, "Yeah, because he going to want to eat one." So if you go around the old way, although you say you ain't going around here to do nothing else but just see somebody, it's easy to fall in than you to pull them out. And besides, somebody else going to tell them how good you're doing if you just stay on this side. Right. You know, how much more time? I don't know where I'm at. Okay. But the most thing that I've really been in touch with is that I can't do this by myself. Right? I accept some humility. I become more humble. It's still some things that I got to work on, like passing some people by that we don't even speak to each other. We don't acknowledge each other, but in time, because I can't put them on my A step and then try to make a nice step amends to them, because I got to be open to receive whatever comes back and I might not like it. But because sometimes I got to be careful for what I ask for, God will do it without my permission. Because I remember driving, and me and this person wasn't speaking to each other, but I saw in these nice old jeans, so I bucked a U-turn. Had no idea it was the person that I don't speak to no more. I was just following the jeans. So when I bucked the U-turn and I pulled up on it and I rolled the window down and something came out, "How you doing?" And she said, "I'm all right, how you?" I said, "I'm all right, I just want to know, can I have my friend back?" And we got a hug. Hadn't put her on the list, none of that. Because of the image, the ego, I was still holding on to resentments and all that. And my sponsor told me this, and I'm going to turn it loose, right? It was a guy that kind of like did some domestic violence to my sister, and she knew him, and she said, yeah, he in the program. This when I first come in, and I said, yeah, I'm going to kill that dude, man. When I see him, I'm going to kill him. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm just going to put that Bethlehem in him. And she said, all right, keep coming back. Keep coming back. We don't do that over here. 2-3 years later, I said, you seen what you come? Because I ain't seen him yet. She said, who you talking about? Keith? I said, yeah. She said, he been dead 3 years ago. I'm still holding on some shit that was 3 years ago. This man gone and resting and looking down on me. And I'm still holding on to that. And I say that to the newcomers. No matter how you feeling inside, no matter what kind of resentments and shame and guilt and all that go on, it's no reason that we still have to pick up and use narcotics and alcohol. Now, it's going to be some other things you're going to be using once you start to stay on this path. But in time, we'll get better. You know what I mean? So I say for the newcomers, although the topic was that no addict seeking recovery need ever die, I always share for the newcomers, the message is hope. The promise is freedom. That no addict seeking recovery need ever die. I'm Lil Sam and I'm at it. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, this is still a meeting. I'd like to thank both of our speakers. Let's give them a round of applause. And I need a group hug, y'all. Come on.